And then you kind of like, the stuff wears off and you kind of go downhill a little bit from it, you know, and kind of go to where you should be. I had an incident where my blood pressure had dumped and it went down to like 58 over, I don't know, 43 or something like that, which is very, very low. And it was because the kidney was overworking. Sometimes, I guess, when they put a kidney in, it goes into overdrive because it's not... I say it's a hardware-software issue where they put the new hardware in and the software doesn't catch up with the hardware. So it kind of goes crazy, and it actually pumped out 7 liters of urine in one day.
Wow.
So what it was doing is taking my blood, converting it to urine, and taking it out of my body. So they were concerned, but they didn't freak out. They actually moved me down to ICU for a day, which was a good experience. They had a real great staff down there, and they watched you like a hawk. They pumped me full of fluids and a bunch of other antibiotics and stuff and stabilized me and brought my blood pressure back up to the normal area. And then they brought me back up to my regular room. I spent one more day up there. I wasn't sleeping that night that much, so they had to do a couple things. And in the morning, they said, well, it looks like we can release you. Can your parents be here at 11 o'clock to pick you up? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I got out in 4 days, basically.
So now you're going back to Yale on a periodic basis, is that right?
Yeah, every 2 weeks for the first month.
Okay.
And then it goes every week after that for another month.
What kind of life are you going to be able to lead? Are you going to be able to lead a normal life when all is said and done?
Yeah, absolutely normal. Normal, then I won't be able to have sushi or raw seafood anymore, but okay. I think it's a small price to pay for what I'm getting.
Absolutely. Yeah, and what message would you send to people who are faced with a similar situation, Mike?
I would just keep the faith, basically. There are donors out there. They are rare. I would tell them to advertise their condition, print up flyers, bring them into businesses in town that people can see them, and don't give up. Have a positive attitude. There is a way, you know, there is a way. And there are people out there, even though there are few, that are, you know, so kind and generous that they will help you.
Now, your dad, and I should mention to our audience, and we're talking with Mike Wallace. He owns Southworth's Wayside Furniture in Torrington, and I want to talk about that business in just a moment. But Mike underwent a kidney transplant. His dad used to work in radio on our sister station on the Talk of Connecticut, WSNG in Torrington, and before that, WTOR. And he set up a website for you, MikeWallaceKidney.com. Talk about that.
Yes, it's a GoFundMe site, and it is to cover some of the medical costs. Some of the medication is very, very expensive. One bottle of pills is like $1,400. There's another one around the same area. We picked up some medication the other day. It was 30 little pills. It was $375, and that was with a copay on it. So it could be very costly as far as that goes. And I will be on these anti-rejection medicine for the rest of my life, basically, so I'll always have to take them. There's at least 3 pills that I will need to take, or you can go into rejection of the kidney, and the kidney will go bad. It is a foreign object in your body. With the pills, your body accepts it and keeps it in good working order, but without the pills, your body would reject it, and you would lose the organ, which is not something that you want to happen.
So there's no question, then, that you are incurring medical costs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is even though you do have coverage.
And you will have these costs pretty much for the rest of your life.
So, again, if people would like to make a donation, how do they go about doing that?
You go to the GoFundMe site for Mike Wallace Kidney Fund.
Okay. And I would encourage people to do that. Let's talk a bit about your business. How long have you owned Southworth Wayside Furniture?
I've worked there for probably 25 years. I've owned it for about 21. It was my uncle's store before, and it was his dad's before that. His dad started it in 1948, and my uncle ran it for quite a while and actually retired at 48 years old. And that doesn't seem to happen anymore. He's down in Florida now, and he's still around. I took it over, and we've been running it ever since. My brother works for me, and my store manager, Kevin Borla, works for me. And I have one warehouse guy and one main driver out in the warehouse.
Mike, I remember the business when I was a kid, and my parents would drive on the Winstead Road, north on the Winstead Road, and it always caught my eye because part of the furniture store is in a hut.
Yeah, well, actually, there's one main hub, and there's five huts, Quonset huts off that. It's definitely a unique and strange-looking building. And I think people that haven't been in there are always surprised that it's much bigger inside than they think it is. It's 8,000 square feet, and that the furniture that is in the building is really nice furniture.
And you sell all kinds of furniture?
Yeah, we carry everything from recliners to bedding to bedroom sets to tables and chairs. You name it, we have it. And if we don't have it in there, we have catalogs. We can get it for you.
What are some of the challenges that you have faced? First of all, operating a furniture store.
It's always a challenge. I mean, you want to be on top of everything, the billing, especially getting the deliveries out on time, making sure everything goes the right way. You know, there's building maintenance to take care of. There's a maintenance on the vehicles to take care of. There's a plethora of different things.
So it's, in a sense, like running a three-ring circus.
It really is. I mean, you have to really be wearing multiple hats, basically. And my staff is very good. And when I'm on a high as far as feeling good, I can run around and do these things no problem at all. I don't mind doing them. But if you're on a low, it's very challenging, very, very challenging.
You also face all of this competition in this day and age with the big box retailers. Talk about that.
Yeah, just the big guys. Unfortunately, the big guys don't give you the individual attention that we can give you. We run our own delivery service. We'll give you a two-hour delivery time. We spend the time with our customers. We have no answering machine in a store. I don't know if you've dealt with it, and you probably have. When you call a company up and you get an answering machine, and it wastes 20 minutes of your business just to talk to a human being. That infuriates me, because the reason they put the system in is to waste your time so they didn't have to hire another employee to answer the phone. We will always answer the phone. There is always a human being there. And we will answer your questions directly. There's no runaround. We have to switch you to a different location to talk to a different person. And when you talk to somebody on the phone, you're going to get the answer you want. We also deal a lot with the Internet, so we're answering questions on the Internet all the time. And usually we'll get back to the person within 2 hours. Whereas you see some of these big stores, you won't get back to the customer for a couple of days.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the Internet. How has, and like you said, you've been in the business for more than two decades, how has technology changed the business?
Technology has really changed as far as advertising. The World Wide Web is definitely the big thing for advertising. Facebook is very, very big for advertising. And we find that we're doing better with that than we have with the old sources. We used to do a ton of business with the newspapers, and it just seems you're not getting your money back for that anymore. So we're doing radio. We're still getting a good return from radio. We do a little cable once in a while. But we're doing a real lot with the Internet and different sources.
What challenges do you foresee down the road?
Down the road, hopefully the economy will pick up some more. I mean, the last number of years has definitely been tough on the economy. I'd like to see more jobs come back to Connecticut and people feel more confident to buy. That would probably be the best thing.
Obviously, that's in many cases a disposable income issue, and if we have more money in our pocket, then we can use some of it to buy furniture, Mike,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Well, furniture is a smart buy, because if you buy a piece of furniture, you're generally going to have it for probably 15 to 20 years. So it's not like you're buying, a video game or something like that where you're going to play the thing for 2 or 3 weeks and then you're going to basically be bored with it. A piece of furniture you're going to sit in, or you're going to sleep in, or you're going to have dinner at, and it's something that you're going to keep in your home. So it's worth having that, and it's worth buying something that's a nice quality.
Well, that's a great point, and perhaps you can explain to our front and center audience some tips, what people should know about when they go and buy furniture in the area of, are they buying a quality piece of furniture?
A lot of these big box stores are building look-alike furniture. If you look at a couch or a sofa, a lot of times all you see is the fabric on the outside. And a lot of these companies are building, they're putting good fabric on the outside of the sofa, but the inside of the sofa is not built well at all. I won't mention any names, but there's a lot of stuff that's coming out of China. These are big stores, and they're selling an inferior product with a nice-looking cover on it. We try to sell more quality stuff. So if you might see a sofa at our place, really high quality piece that's $1,400, where the competition is selling something that looks like that for $500. They are not the same thing. Mine comes from the Carolinas. It's eight-way hand tied. It's all solid wood. And it's just much finer quality. And we do offer the customer different ranges of furniture. And we sell sofas as low as $499 up to probably $2,000. So we offer them, you know, where do you want to be? You want to be low, middle, or high?
So how would a consumer know if it's quality on the inside? It might look quality on the outside, but how would they know it's quality on the inside?
Well, we're there to explain to the customer what they're getting for their money. I mean, when you're dealing with us, you're dealing one-to-one with a salesperson. We always let the customer come in, look around a bit. We'll always offer our help. We won't harass them, and that's one thing that the big stores do. They'll follow you around the store. We will not. We will approach you and ask you if you need help. And we will be around to see if you have a question. And if you do have questions, we're more than happy to answer them and basically give you an education.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been an education for our audience today. And, again, I just want to get back to your situation as far as the kidney transplant is concerned. And as an overview, you are on the mend, correct?
Yes, I am. Yep.
And is there anything else you'd like to say to our audience in conclusion as far as the kidney transplant was concerned?
Well, like I said, if you have somebody you know that needs one or you need one, like I said, keep the faith. Don't get depressed. Basically, try to look at it on the bright side because if you try hard enough, you will get somebody to come forward and they will help you.
Wow. It's a great story, Mike, and a happy finish. I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today on Front and Center.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Mike Wallace has been our guest.